want to hear the preaching of the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Appreciate the Lord sprinkling down a little heart tenderizer place this morning. There's nothing like having a good rack of ribs going to Barbie. You just don't throw them things on there. I'm finished, do you, brother man? Got a little tenderizer, some dry rub to put on that thing, and maybe even some apple cider. Apple cider and some of that spices and start tenderizing that meat. The last thing you want to do is throw them over. Let all them juices out, right? But all that tenderizer and everything you want to put on it really only benefits half of that slab of rib. Except you turn that dude on the backside and you remove the membrane. You didn't know that. So for the membrane, you got to remove on the backside of those ribs. Or else all the tenderizer you put on there, all of that apple cider that you're soaking in, doesn't go through that membrane. Amen. Isn't that what pre-service prayer does for us? We get in here, amen, and before God has an opportunity to pour it out on us, we just strip back all that membrane, all that callousness and everything that the week's put on us. Amen. Then we get in here amongst one another and get into a heavenly place, and the presence of the Lord just comes down in here and tenderizes that old heart and everything that the world has tried to put on us this whole week. And maybe we've had attitudes that weren't right and situations that just didn't work out of us. And we were just frustrated in it. But because we were able to remove that membrane, the presence of the Lord is able to permeate our spirit, make us a better man. Amen. Don't you thank God for that? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, God. All for the work you wrought in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Amen. What I want to do today, we are in Bible class. I'm going to kick it down a little level. There's one that comes after me that's more exciting tonight. Amen. We've got Brother David Kinney is going to come after us today. We're excited about that. So I'm going to do my best to teach today. And I told Brother Shuck we would sing a couple songs of Father Abraham, and maybe we'll talk about the Ten Commandments or something. That's what I've been used to doing, teaching these young people. But, amen. Pray for us today. And what I wanted to do, what I felt led to do, was about a little year ago, I started a three-part message dealing with the revelations of King David. And the first one we dealt with, and I'll reiterate that in the end of the day somewhat, was the revelation of the house of the Lord. So I want to go into the second portion of that. If you would, stand with me real quick for the reading of the word, Psalms 119, and verse 11. Amen. King David is a giant in the scripture of the Old Testament. But there's so much recorded about him. And it's very odd today, and ironic, that when you go into a lot of the archaeological digs they have in Israel today, you won't find anything about King David. I find it very odd. And basically, you're only finding some things about him in the Word of God. But I did hear somewhere that they found a series of scribes, of scrolls, that went through a fire. And when you had a document that a king had to sign, they had a little piece, I can't remember the name of what they called this, but they had a little piece of clay that they would put onto that document that the king himself or the scribe would put the king's seal into that what scribe it was. It was bully. That's what it's called, the bully. And they said that when there was a certain fire that went through Jerusalem one day, it found this area where all the archives of all the histories of David was. What do you think they found? What happens to clay when it goes through fire? It turns real hard, right? Like pottery? Well, they found, preserved, all of these bullae that had this scribe on it, of King David's scribe that was recorded in the Old Testament. And so, You look at all the naysayers and everybody that says, oh, that's just an old book someone wrote. No, we're finding things even today that prove that the Word of God is correct in every form and facet of life. Amen. That it is still just as pertinent and true in our lives today as it was for those that walked in the Old Testament. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into the Word of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 11. Amen. Read this with me, please. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about the revelation, David's revelation of the Word of God. Amen. Revelation cannot be accomplished without first forming a relationship with God. Before he can claim that he has a revelation from God, there must first be forged a relationship with God. Amen. We know a little bit about David's relationship with God. We know that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a valiant man. He was a man that is not afraid to show his skillful passion for playing the harp and writing psalms to God. And in the next breath, he's taking up the challenge of the mightiest warrior of the enemy because he knew in whom he had believed. Amen. This is a man that comes from humble beginnings. He was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was not born having the best of society. This is a man who's basically been reared up on the hillside playing a harp and watching a snotty-nosed sheep. Okay? This is a man from humble beginnings. But we find that the change to royalty doesn't make him so full of pride that when he stands in error, amen, that when he stands in error, the correction from the man of God doesn't offend him. It still finds a repentant heart. Amen. This is a man that we should all look to as an example, for the scripture even said that these are our example to live after, or to learn from their folly, to learn from their triumphs. What did they do to get it right? What did they do to get on the good side of God? Or Esau, what did you do to get on the bad side of God that we'll avoid and learn and stay away from? These are our examples to walk after, to learn from. Amen. From their lives and how they reacted to the things that happened in their life. The things that happened in their life, it's happening in ours. Amen. Maybe not the same exact things, but you can look at it and say, yeah, they had trouble. They had family issues. They had money issues. They had situations that they had to deal with just like we have to deal with today. And so we look at their example and find out, how did they deal with it? How did they work around it? How did they finish their life being faithful and living for God? Amen. So when I look at King David and I survey his life and the histories that are recorded in the Old Testament and even into the book of Psalms, I look and I find that there are basically three main revelations or passions that David carried about with him. Now, some may look and find others, and that's quite all right. This is just the things that jump off the book into my lap that I see when I learn about King David and the things that he went through in life. The first revelation, as I taught some months ago, was the revelation of the house of God. And our attitude toward the house of God will directly affect and reflect our extent of our relationship with God. David said in Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. David, what's your attitude about living for God when it comes to the house of the Lord? Hey, I'm not afraid to go to the house of the Lord. Matter of fact, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because I know there are things and there are things set up there that I can find refuge. Amen. It is a shelter for me. It is a tabernacle where I can find hope and help in my time of need. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The second revelation that David had was a revelation of praise and worship. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says to us, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. There was an idea, a concept that David had about getting something from God. That when you enter into His courts and you want to go to that throne, amen, and make your petition known, that you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and you enter into His courts with praise. You can't come in with hands that hang down. You can't come in with an attitude that is anything less than gratitude for what God has done in your life. Amen. But when you get before the King, there has to be a process that must go through to understand that if I'm going to go before the throne and make my petition known, I've got to enter in His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Amen. David's second revelation was the revelation of praise and worship. Psalms 5 and 7 said, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple. Amen. There was a specific way that you come before God. Amen. It was with fear will I worship toward His temple. Amen. The third revelation that I want to talk to us about today is this revelation of His Word. Believe me, I've taken the communion and shared the whole cup of the church, so won't bother me a bit. Oh, some of y'all better be thanking God that y'all live in a church that preaches truth. Amen. So what I want to talk today about is the revelation of His Word. Psalms 119 and verse 130 tells us that the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Amen. Thank God today that in a dark time in my life, amen, that the Word came along and illuminated my way. Amen. That it gives me light. And I was simple. I didn't fully understand a lot of the thees and thous that I was finding in the Scripture. I didn't fully completely understand how it made a difference in my life. And I'm in the New Testament now. Why do I even need to look at the Old Testament? There was a lot I didn't understand. But when you begin to open up the Word, and when you begin to hear Bible teaching, amen, and you begin to sit underneath a Bible teacher that can explain and make plain to you the Word, and then let you understand where you can find yourself within the Scripture, amen. Can I tell you, it's going to illuminate your way. Amen. Can I tell you that it'll give you understanding, no matter how simple, amen, that you are. Psalms 119:11 said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. There is a desire, amen, through the true believer that wants to please God in every way of his life. Amen. He wants to be upright and honest and walk before God with a pure heart. Amen. And he understands the only way you can please God is to be able to stand before Him with truth on your inward parts. Amen. That's what Revelation was telling us. The only thing that's able to stand before Him on that day is truth. Amen. I want to have the Word hidden in my heart. Amen. That when everything around me is falling apart, amen, that when everything around me is being burned away, amen, truth is going to remain. And I want it in my heart. Amen. Amen. So what the Bible is calling itself in several of the Scriptures that we read today. Amen. We don't have to go to these on the screen behind me. Romans, if y'all want to take notes today, this is a good place to go back and restudy these. But the Bible actually calls itself several things. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Amen. It refers to itself as the Holy Scriptures. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, it's called the Law of the Lord. In Romans 15 and verse 8, it is called the Truth of God. In Isaiah 34 and 16, it is referred to as the Book of the Lord. And Romans 3:2, it calls itself the oracles of God. Ephesians 6:17 calls it the Word of God. Romans 10:17 calls it the Word of God. Philippians 2:16 calls it the Word of Life. Daniel 10:21 calls it the Scripture of Truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 calls it the Word of Truth. And how many of you know we've been calling that a lot here on Wednesday night? Amen. Talk about a work that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Amen. David, this is what I like about David, is that he had a relationship with God's Word. This wasn't just some book set on his coffee table. This wasn't just some book that he came and sat and listened to the priest read every Sunday. This is a man who had a relationship with God's Word. Amen. So, in studying this, I'm thinking, okay, so what are the manifestations of this relationship that a man can have with the Word of God? James 1:23 says that he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in glass. The Word of God is like a mirror. That he can look and see himself. It even goes and talk about there are some men just don't even, what man goes into a mirror and doesn't remember what he looked like and walk away? What manner of man that he is? No. When you stand in front of that mirror, if you see something wrong, you're going to take care of it. You're not going to walk away with your hair all messed up. You're not going to walk away with food left in the corner of your mouth. No, you're going to take care of it because you see what manner of man you are that people are going to identify and notice. And so the Word, in the same manner, is like a mirror unto us. When we look into the Word, there are things we may not like when we see. There are things we may say, yep, I got that in order. Now we'll move to the next thing. What about my tiles? What manner of man I am? That's what the Word reports back to you because it's like a mirror in my life. Amen. Jeremiah 23:29 says, His Word is like a fire. And it's like a hammer that breaketh a rock into pieces. Amen. How many of you ever felt the Word come down on you and break something? Amen. Something that you thought was pretty stable in your life. And you thought you had it all wrapped up and all right, and tied up with a bow. And you thought, yeah, look here, I got all this just like it's supposed to be. And somewhere the Word makes its way into your life. And it just breaks that down like a hammer. And at first you're crushed. Then you realize if you ever want that to be built back up again, penance is going to have to take place. Amen. Then the Word is going to have to guide you in building that back up in the right manner. Amen. Amen. So the Word is like a hammer. Psalms 119:105 said that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Thank God that there are times that it may seem dark. Amen. But this is going back a long, long time ago. Skip Grandma's house. And I remember they lived so far back in the Sand Mountain in Haverhill, Alabama, back in the '60s. And they didn't have but one spigot in the kitchen running water. But it was like what you had outside that you hooked to the hose bill. That's what they used in the kitchen. So there was no bathroom. So at night, you get off the feather bed, you had to go to the restroom, you had to find a lantern or a flashlight or something to make your way down a dark path. There was no lights out there. It was dark. I can tell you, thank God there was a lantern. Thank God there was a light to illuminate the path in a dark time. Amen. Amen. And so the Word is like a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my path. Hebrews 4:12 said that this Word is a two-edged sword. Amen. It cuts going both ways. Amen. It's a two-edged sword. 1 Peter 2:2 called it sincere milk. It's good because the next scripture in Hebrews 5:11 said it's strong meat. Isn't it great? The Word is not only broken down and simple enough that the new convert can come in and it's just milk. It's just, I mean, it's ready for, like that baby. That's all they can take. But that's all they need to live on is that milk. But you take that person, that new convert, they come in, and they begin to learn the Word. They begin to go through trials and tests, and they begin to grow. And God begins to put things into them. They begin to mature. Well, then they don't need to be on milk anymore. But that same Word that was milk in the beginning now is meat for them in their life. And they can learn to live off of the same thing that they've been living off of, but it's no longer milk. It's now meat. The problem is when you get somebody that should be living on meat and they're still living on milk. And it's a situation when you should be living on the meat. The meat's too much for you. It offends you. And it's like food that goes into your stomach and just makes you sick. It just makes you sorry that you ate it because you're not mature enough to handle meat. Amen. But this Word, Pastor, the same Word, the whole Word, amen, is not only milk when we're young and when we're new converts, but as we grow older and mature in God, it is also meat that we can live off of. Amen. Matthew 4:4 called it bread. And we're not to live by bread alone. Amen. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is bread. This is daily bread. Amen. That we can live on. This is fresh bread. Not stale and moldy. Who likes moldy bread? Who likes day-old bread? I only went there whenever I was having it so hard that I couldn't afford to go buy bread down at Winn-Dixie to go to the day-old bread store. Amen. But even that, you better eat it quick. Amen. But can I tell you, this is fresh bread. Amen. It's not day-old bread. It's not moldy bread. Amen. It's not bread with like pumpernickel and stuff all that. And got all those things there. You're looking at, oh, what is that stuff doing? Is that something growing? Or is that anything? You know? This is fresh bread. It's like walking in the Subway and smelling that fresh bread that's been cooked that morning. And then you know there's some good stuff fixing to happen. Amen. And when you walk in, you, oh, wow, just that aroma, man. You just thank God that He gave me a fifth sense that I can smell. It's just awesome. Amen. But it's fresh bread. Amen. Living for God. Amen. His Word. It is truly a relationship with His Word that affects us. Amen. Solomon was teaching others one day. His father's David's instruction to him. Amen. He was basically teaching what he had been taught as a young man from David. And when he began to speak about the Word in Proverbs 6:22, amen, Solomon began to speak in verses right before that is where he told that my father told me this. And he said that the Word, speaking of the Word, he said, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That means it's a relationship. Amen. The Word of God, it is a relationship. Just like it's a relationship between you and your brother. Just like it's a relationship between you and your wife. It's a relationship between you and your children. You have a relationship with the Word of God. Amen. It is like the tide. There is an ebb and a flow. There is a give and a take. There is a understanding. There are times when you look at it with questions. Then there's times that the Word of God comes back to you with answers. Amen. It is alive. It is something that lives. It is able to talk back to us. Amen. To deal with us. To work with us. Amen. It is a relationship. And there is a relationship that you can get with the Word so much, so close, tied together, that you're not reading the Word. The Word is actually reading you. Let me say that again. The relationship you can get so close to the Word where you're not actually reading the Word. But the Word is coming to you and it knows your actions. It knows your life. It knows your frustrations. It knows your situation. It knows there's a lens like that it goes through and it reads you and looks you over like a microscope and knows every area of your heart. It knows every area of your mind. It knows every part of your being and your understanding. And where you go to and what happens on your job and what happens in your family, what happens in your home and what happens in the church and what happens, it knows every area. Amen. The Word reads you and records you and looks over. It's going to judge us. And that Word talks to us. Amen. Hebrews 4:12, as we already said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm going to tell you, the word reads you. It understands you. It discerns you. It knows what you're feeling. It knows what you're thinking. It knows what you're dealing with, what you're wrestling with. And it's able to get right there on your level and speak to you right where you're at in your time of need. Amen. It can read you like a book and discern the things about you that no one else can. It's the Word. Amen. It knows how to prick and to probe the sensitive areas of your heart and bring things to the surface that needs to be dealt with. It's the Word. It doesn't injure you unless it has to. And cut away with that two-edged sword. And cut away things that need to be in your life. But it knows how to bring things to the surface. For you to bring them to an altar. For you to go to a brother or a sister. For you to go to a son or a daughter or to a father or a mother and make it right. It's the Word. Amen. Amen. If your scripture reading does not do this for you, something's not right in your life. Amen. Understand what I'm saying. If in your Bible study, if in your devotion, the scripture doesn't come alive like that to you, there's something missing. There is a great bit of your relationship with God that is not there. It's vacant. And I hope that's made exposed to you today. That there is an alive relationship waiting for you in your life of living with God that you're missing out on. Amen. There is a privilege that you have as being a child of God that if in your devotion, you're not getting that in your life. You're missing out on it. Amen. It's there for you to have. It's there to you to work with, to keep with. It is there to empower you. And if you're not having that in your life, amen, God's wanting to let you know, hey, you can have that in your relationship with me today. Amen. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've seen some in their devotion. I need to hear from God in my life. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know. I'll just take the scripture. You might even know. And this scripture right here. There are a lot. It can happen. But I would be afraid that if I was on a long fast to do that wanting to hear an answer from God that I might end up turning to Proverbs 23:2. If we can put that up on the screen. I would be so afraid that I would thumb through and find myself at Proverbs 23:2 that says, and put a knife to thy throat, thou be a man given to appetite. What kind of answer is that to a man that's hungry? What kind of answer is that to a man that's struggling with something? Amen. To just so simply flip through the scripture and say, yep, this is God's word, therefore. No, this is God. There's nothing about God that is haphazard. You're going to find out His kingdom is in order. His kingdom is not in disarray. He does not work by happen chance. Everything is done, amen, according to His word. Amen. John 14 and verse 26. Amen. This is scriptural. This is how God works in your life. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who's got the Holy Ghost? Okay. The Comforter, who's the Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name. And that name is Jesus. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever things I said unto you. How many times have you woke up early in the morning, wrestling with something, and just a fraction of a scripture come to your mind? You did not know where you were going to get the money. You did not know how you were going to work this situation. You did not know how God was going to come through in your time of need. And all of a sudden, a smidgen of a scripture came. And you said, oh. And you pulled up the concordance, or you went online and tried to use a Bible software online, or you pulled out your iPad. Where's the scripture? I know it's got to say that. And finally you found it. You said, I'll bring all things back to remembrance. You don't have to go hit a miss. Can I tell you that's why the devotion in our lives as children of God is so important? Because how can God bring back anything to our remembrance if first we have not placed it there by devotion, by getting the Word in our heart that will not sin against it? I'm going to tell you, frustrating times, situations in our life where we don't know what to do, but we don't have the answers. Those are opportunities for the enemy to have us question God. But except the Word is in our heart, except the Word is hidden there, amen, God will then bring it back to our remembrance. And that's where our hope's coming from. Our hope is not in this world below. Our hope is not in happen chance. Amen. And thinking we're going to find it, amen, in some way that is of our own choosing. Amen. But God's got the answer for us. Amen. If we'll obey His Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Word of God works. Word of God works. Amen. Devotion and meditation time. Talk about that. Devotion and meditation. That is really premium in our life. Hey. How many of you have a busy life? I get it. We all have busy lives. Busy lives. Family. Jobs. Bills due. Things to do around the church. But I want to be accountable to God. I want to work in His kingdom. We have busy lives. I'm telling you, in the child of God's life, there has to be a place where we learn to feed ourselves. It's good we come to church on Sunday and the man of God gets up and He feeds us. But I'm telling you, if you're only eating once or twice a week, you're off skinny. That's not a diet plan I like. Amen. If you're only eating one time a day, I feel for you. Amen. So, there is a life of devotion time and meditation time. And these are two separate things that a healthy child of God must have in his life. It's kind of like the cow chewing its cud. You ever seen that cow out there underneath that tree? It would just sit there for hours on end. All that thing, why don't you? He's basically chewing over something he's already in. He's breaking it down even more than what it was when he actually took it in. Amen. And that's what the Word of God is in our life. We'll come and we'll read something in the Scripture. Or the pastor will help and he'll preach to us. And he'll say so many things that we've got to catch in an hour's time or a service amount's time. There is no way we can glean every single nugget that comes across the sacred text. So it's up to us to meditate on it. And then begin to go over it. Begin to break this down. And then begin to wonder, hey, how do I apply this in my life? How do I make sure? I realize it was good. It was like whipped cream. You know, I like the whipped cream stuff. Sometimes I just can't eat. It tastes good. Sometimes I gotta get some green beans inside. I gotta get some cornbread. I gotta get some things that stick to my ribs. He said, one part of the scripture, I would that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. Amen. I want to know the word that comes across past Sunday, how often do you go back to it? Beyond Wednesday night, how often do you meditate on it? Take an account of yourself. How much do you believe that what's preached here is meant for your life? Even when you may think it, you know, that's for somebody else, and you shove it over your head. You know, I don't see anybody coming to a table that's hungry saying, you know what? Fried chicken, you know, I'll pass it to somebody. I don't see that. So when you come to the table hungry, you're going to have a happy plate. You know, you're going to eat it all. It's all going to be gone. Okay? And so that's what I'm saying. When we come to the house of God and the Word comes forth, when Brother David Kinney brings forth the Word later on today, you know, it's not time to say, green beans, carrots, I'm going to wait for on pie. No, I'm sorry. It's going to be another couple of days till we're back in the house of God. And unless you store up food like a bear or something, I'm sorry, I need the Word of God working over and over. I need to meditate on His Word. I need to bring it back so that I can benefit from every single thing that's brought forth. Amen. And so, the book of Psalms is like, to me it's like a personal diary, King David. In this book, we begin to see David's vulnerabilities, where his weaknesses are. Yeah, he's a king, but I can tell you, he was a man. He laced up his sandals just like I slip on mine. So, we see his fears. We see his defeats. We see his failures. We see where David goes through areas of his life where he's about to lose it all. He's about to have an insurrection several times in the scripture where basically it looked like everybody was against David. It didn't look like he had a friend in the world, and he even questioned if God was still his friend. But I'm telling you, it was in times like this where the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. How many times have you ever had to encourage yourself in God? When you look down and everything's just going downhill, it's just going south. Amen. The world against you, everything's just going against you. Amen. Wilson Bank and Trust is against me. Amen. The light company's against me. The water company's against me. Amen. I didn't get the raise on my job. It's against me. Amen. The baby went through a whole pack of diapers in 3 hours. That's against me. And Lord, now somebody's got to take out the trash. Everything's just going downhill. But David, we see here that everything in his life seemed was against him. But there were guiding principles that David relied on in his life to make him through every area, to make him an overcomer that he was. So, I mean, he had this guiding set of principles in his life so that the distraught, the debt, those in his life that came to him in the cave of Adullam. Amen. They didn't stay that way because there was a man who had a set of guiding principles in his life. Amen. That let him stay there. Amen. Amen. So the book of Psalms is written so that it speaks to men on all levels. Amen. It's a book that begins in Psalms 1 that says, blessed is the man, singular. We're talking to the man on his level. We're talking to the man, singular. This man, this, sir, this is how you get in touch with God. This is your benefit of the Word of God working in your life on an individual level. But before it's over with, in Psalms 150 and 6, it's speaking to a nation. When David says, let everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Amen. So now we're not just talking to the man, singular. We're talking to a nation. You want to know how to get in touch with God. You want to know how to get the blessings of God working in your life. You want to know how to bring the Shekinah power of God into the temple so that it looks like a cloud-filling temple. This is how you do it, nation of Israel. Amen. And so it speaks to us on several levels. So the book of Psalms, the meaning of that is the book of praises. Amen. And there are a number of authors. It just wasn't David already, but basically it was a collection that was put together. And so 73 of these psalms were attributed to David. 12 were by Asaph. 10 were by the sons of Korah. There are 2 by Solomon. Chapter 2 and chapter 127. There was 1 by Moses, and about 52 of them were almost by anonymous other authors that were there. That most of them are possibly attributed to Ezra in the time that they were written. So this is the 19th book in the Bible, the 19th book in the Old Testament. It is the 2nd of the 5 poetical books, Job being the first one. And so there are 150 chapters. There are 2,461 verses and 43,743 words. And so this book is given to us as our example.
how do you get control? How do you get in your life? How do you get where you're accomplishing stuff, where you're an overcomer? What's the background? What's going through your mind, David, for all these struggles in your life? This is where a lot of this is found. And so some questions that I find come to my mind when I read about David and his struggles and his love for the Word of God and truth. Some questions that come to my mind are, what cultivated this love for God's Word in his life? What made him fall in love and have the faith so much that he could run and take on Goliath when he's got all these other brothers that are standing with the rest of Israel shaking in their boots? Why David? So what episodes in his life caused him to trust in the Word? What would cause him to go against the line? What would cause him to go against the Word? What would cause him to take on the charge of Goliath? What would cause him to be king in Israel? And realize that God's in control. If Absalom wants the kingdom, they didn't have a kingdom. That was basically his attitude. You know why? If God wants Absalom in control, there ain't nothing I can do about it. God wanted to be in control, and that was his understanding the whole time he was anointed. But Saul had the king's crown on his head. Never did he touch it. Never did he take out what he was calling God's anointed. And even though he had failed and God had rejected him, he still looked at him because God put him in that place. And until God removes him out of that throne, I'm not faithful. There has to be something in a man's life. Men do crazy stuff. Men do crazy things that just because they have permission. They think they can assume and do things. And that's where they get out of the will and mind of God. Because there's an opening there. There's something they can do. Yet they step out of turn because God wasn't ready. God hasn't approved that yet. Yeah, you're getting the training, David. Yeah, look where I've taken you. I've taken you off the side of the hill, and I put you into the kingdom, into the king's court. Yeah, you may be playing a harp, but look, you get to watch the emissaries come in, and he gets to deal with them and work with them, and the wisdom that you're learning how to deal with kings, and how to work in the things of kings, and how to work the things of the kingdom, and where to get all these trees over in Lebanon to build these things with, and where to get the gold, and where to get the things. You wouldn't know that if you were sitting on the hillside still working with sheep, David. But look what I've done for you. I put you into the king's court. And if you just sit a little while and learn some stuff, one day maybe I'll be able to use you. And so David understands this. And he's keeping this whole mindset the whole time that I'm not going to get in front of God. I'm not going to get out in front of God. It's not going to be me. It's going to be God the whole way. God's going to have to do it or else it ain't going to get done. And we find God blesses. God honors that. God anoints that. And God makes the way. And David steps in the kingdom. The Bible said, established. Amen. It's still recorded today for our life. Amen. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want in my life. I want my children to speak about the faith that their mom and dad had. Amen. That when there was trouble and trying things in their life growing up, and I want them to tell and give record, this is how my mom and dad were faithful to the house of God. Amen. I want them to tell their grandchildren that when they look back and say, why are we in church today? Well, we're in church today because your grandma and grandpa kept us in church growing up. And I learned, they read me Bible stories at night, and they said prayers with me, and they helped me out. And they, when I was having trouble on my job, amen, and I would call on my break and tell my mama about it, my mama would pray with me and give me peace. And I watched how in the rest of that day that Alexa said, God turned your mind. But that's what it is. It's you living the life before your children. And they see and learn that faith, and then it's established in their life. And they realize that dad's not just there because he's you know, just living because it's the thing to do. No. It's not just a coffee table thing that we keep there to keep birth dates and record dates. No, this is a lie. This speaks to us. This talks to us. This guides us.
This works on us. This chisels the things that aren't like God away. And this smooths out the rough areas. It's alive and working in our life. Amen. So I often wonder what cultivated these things in David's life. What caused him to want to do the things he did and the exploits that he did in the Word of God. Amen. So, when David begins to write the book of Psalms, that's why I don't find it ironic that in the very first several verses, first chapter of the book of Psalms, we read Psalms 1 and 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And boy, I tell you, if I had time, you could go through that right there and finding any kind of counsel outside the church. He doesn't do all that. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He's scornful because he got counsel outside the church. I can tell you that. But his delight, where is his delight, David? It's in the law of the Lord. Isn't that key? And in his law, what does he do day and night? Meditates. He's taking that law. He's breaking it down. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to my family? What does it mean to bring me to be an overcoming Christian? Not somebody that's like a roller coaster. I'm up today and down tomorrow. Up and down, up and down, up. I tell you, life was not lived to be up and down. It'll make you sick. It will. Oh, yeah, that roller coaster ride would have been fun the first time. You stay on that a couple times and tell me how fun it is. Okay? Living life on a roller coaster is not fun. I'm going to tell you, living life in church, in and out, up and down, is not fun. It's not healthy. Sooner or later, it'll catch up with you. So verse 3 said, and he shall be like a tree. And in several places in the Bible where men are referred to like trees, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And David knew that if a relationship with God's Word was to be beneficial, he would have to make time for it in his life. Amen. Psalms 119, 97 through 99 said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditations. Is that word again? How are you so successful, David? I'm able to learn how to meditate on the Word of God. This meditation was a lesson that I believe that he learned from another godly leader, Joshua. Amen. So Joshua is now in the lead of Israel. And he's a new leader. He doesn't exactly know all the ins and outs and how to lead people like this, but he learned from one of the best. Okay? But Moses is gone. Joshua, what are you going to do with the people? How are you going to lead them? So, we find that God pulls Joshua aside. He begins to tell him that I'm going to be the same God that Moses had. And in Joshua 1, verse 8, he begins to tell him and give him instructions, speaking to him, saying that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. There's that word again. God is telling Joshua to meditate on that law therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thy way be prosperous. Oh, I want a prosperous way. And that then shalt thou have good success. I want to be successful, don't you? Amen. So having a leader such as Saul, I believe David wanted to be a successful leader. When you look at all the things that Saul, the King Saul went through in his reign, and how he just kept stubbing his toe over and over again, getting out in front of the man of God, doing his own thing, amen, prideful, and the things that he did. I bet David, in learning these things, said, you know what? You know, when I'm a leader, I ain't gonna treat them like that. I'm a leader, man of God has something to say, I'm listening to him. And when he began to meditate on these things, he was successful as a leader. So I want to particularly close out by looking at some of the things that David had to say in Psalms 119. And so Psalms 119 is the book of meditations. That's what this is referred to as. Almost every, you can divide up the book of Psalms into several different smaller books of several chapters. Psalms 119, on top of being the longest chapter, is a book to itself. So this one is called the Book of Meditations. And so I wondered, what cultivated this love for truth inside of David? What brought him to the point where he would meditate, want to meditate on these things, even as an old man, as he went through things in his life? So what do we know about David? We know that David's first job was as a shepherd boy on the hillside watching the sheep. And I think, according to the scripture, he was probably a little too young to be thinking about girls. So he didn't have that distraction in his life. But there was something that I believe was the time he had on his hands that began to meditate on God. Now you tell me, he wasn't thinking on something else if immediately he could have enough faith to take on the challenge of life. He wasn't reading comic books. Nothing wrong with comic books, I'm just saying. The man had his mind on something that came through in the end, showed he was doing the right thing. So, what was he doing that put him on the right track? Evidently, watching sheep, this took a lot of time for meditation. Think about that. Then there may have been the occasional lion or bear that came up, or wolf, or whatever, or stray sheep that you got to go after. But in the meantime, there was a lot of time for him just to sit down underneath the tree, think about some of the things that maybe Dad had said as he read the scripture, or gave what the priest said in service that Sunday, or that Saturday, and Sabbath. There may have been something that the Word brought back he began to think about and began to cultivate a love for truth, a love for God in his young life. And you know, I feel like that in today's age that we've kind of lost the art of meditation. The only time you hear about meditation today is some new age movement where you need to go somewhere and put your feet in some kind of awkward pretzel-like shape and fall up in a ball and go, But I'm telling you, meditation is all through the Old Testament. And it's what made men men. And ladies, ladies. But we find it in this age that we're living in today. It's real easy today to occupy all of our downtime now with Instagram, Angry Birds. Hey, I'm preaching to me, okay? Can we all be real? How easy is it? You're ready to go to bed at night. Reach over. Something's happening on the news. And God's saying, oh, you only meditate just a little bit. That's the stuff I need to deal with. What's going on with you all? It's easy to just check my email. Check out on God. Maybe I'll pull up Amazon. Find out if we got any last-minute deal. It's easy for us just to fill our void, our downtime, with something else. Nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying that it's easy to do. Then our mind shuts down for long. It's time to turn it off. We got a whole day of work tomorrow. As soon as our head hits the pillow. God say, amen. We'll deal with you with what Son says. I want to research with you an answer. It's in the Word. I need to bring it back to your remembrance, but you're plugged into something else. You can't remember what I'm trying to bring back to you. So David, in this book of meditation, I want to pull out a couple of them real quick. It's 229. I'm going to close. Psalms 119 and 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to that word. Amen. How are you going to cleanse your heart, cleanse your mind, cleanse your hands? Amen. Take heed to his word. Psalms 119 and 89. David said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Amen. How many times you ever needed some stability in your life? And it was thankful to know that at least one thing is settled, and that's God's word. And it does not change. Not change. Amen. Psalms 119 and 160. David, writing here, says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. When I'm gone, they put the last shovel full of earth over me in the grave. And I tell you one thing is still going to endure, and that's God's word. And if I can adhere to it, if I can align to it, amen, it's going to preserve me too in that day." Amen. Psalms 119 and 130. The Bible says here, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple." And that was one of our springboard texts. Also, 119:11, where David said that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I tell you that these meditations David had, this is what kept him solid. When everything around him was going in all different directions, sons are leading rebellions, when things in his life are just upside down, "David, why are you so stable?" "I mean, why, let me tell you what I've been thinking on. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are holy, any virtue, any praise, think on these things." Amen. So God is telling the church, 2014, "Amen, my word is still waiting there for you to have a relationship with." Amen. But you gotta think on it. You gotta meditate on it. You gotta eat it. You gotta feast upon it. Amen. David had a personal relationship with the Word of God. I'm closing. That it was alive in his life. It was working in his life. And whether from the scriptures that he read or from a man of God, not going to offend him. How do you know that? Because David had something solid in his life. Psalms 119 and 165. Amen. The Bible said, "Great peace have they which love thy law." David, how do I know you love his law? Nothing's going to offend me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It doesn't matter what comes against me. It doesn't matter how the pastor preaches and gets on my toes. "Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend me." Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Oh, God, I want the Word to be alive in my life. I want the Word to do a work in me, cut away at me, whatever it's got to do to hit home. I've got to make heaven, Brother Cannon. I've got to have a heart that's right and pure. I've got to have a life that's lived so plain and so faithful that those that are following behind me can get on board, can hook into, amen, and make that their life. Amen. Isn't that right? You want to do that today? Amen. Lord bless you.
Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. Amen. I was, as they come to the music, we get ready to worship just a moment. I was, as Brother Birmingham was teaching, I was writing. I like to write notes, and occasionally I'll go on the church website and I'll listen to stuff. But I like all the old hard copies. I write down every scripture. I like a physical copy of it. And as I was writing, he was saying different things that I see the word as, and on every one of them, I was trying to stay up with him. And I realized as he was talking about it, he made that one point, and he said about reading the word and the word reading us. It is so true that when you're in a spirit of prayer and you're praying and you're talking to God, you can read the word. God can speak to that very situation that you're going through. And it can be, no matter what situation it is, as you begin to read the scripture, it just seems like as you're reading it, God just begins to bring things out, and it speaks. It's reading your life and your situation and what you're going through, and it sees the very place that you're at. Amen. God speaks to your heart on every level. So amazing that he can speak to every child of God, whether male or female, use the same verse and touch 100 people 100 different ways. But as he was reading, I began to identify, especially on that last part where he talked about Angry Birds, and I don't play Angry Birds, never played a game in my life on the thing. I just don't. That's not my thing. It may be yours, but it's just not mine. But every morning, religiously, faithfully, I don't lay in the bed and play games. When I get in the bed, I'm going to sleep. When I go in there and shut the lights off, it kind of goes to bed, and I don't stay up. And it used to just aggravate me to death because my dad, I could hear him through the wall snoring. He would go down to get night, and he'd be snoring by the time he hit the bed. I have become that man because when I lay down, honey, don't try to talk to me because I'm out like a light. But what I do is first thing in the morning, I grab my phone and I read the USA Today, every single section of the USA Today on my phone or my iPad. And I go over to Fox News and I read everything faithfully and religiously. And as he was teaching and he began to close, I thought to myself, what if I just got the word? And that faithful and religiously, I spent the same hour reading the word as I did on what's going on in the world around me. And I'm not saying don't know what's happening in your world. I think you need to stay up on the news and stay up on what's going on in your area and in your locale and around across the neighboring state. You need to know what's going on in the government. You need to know what's going on in your state. You need to know what's going on in your city and community and overseas and what's going on. But I just wonder if I just put as much time into the Word and the morning devotions as I did. Sometimes I can spend two hours going through news. And then when I'm done, but by the time I'm done, well, my God, I've got to hurry. I've got stuff to do. Let's go. And yet, God, sometimes I'm trying to tack him on at the end of the day or tack him on. Okay, I'll give him the drive from here to town. What if we change that? I know I'm probably not talking to anybody here, just myself, but what if, just what if, Brother Kenny, I did more than say my drive from the house to town, I'm going to talk to God, and instead I put the news aside, and today, why don't we just try that? Why don't we just try to say, God, all right, if you say the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light in my path, I the word of my heart, my God, I'm just going to take you up on it, God. I'm just going to believe you. And tomorrow, where I would be reading USA Today and Fox News, I'm going to try reading the word and study it. And the same time and that I devote to the news, I'm going to devote to maybe working on a script, a message. I better be surprised the areas that God would talk to us that we wouldn't even need to come back and say, God, you got to help me with this, because I need an answer here, God. And God's saying, if you'd have just told me, I've been there every morning, you ain't talked to me yet. Like a Jerry Clark joke, I passed you twice, and you ain't waved to me yet. I just wonder if we applied that same. So as he was closing, let's just try that. Let's just make in our minds, make up in our heart, you know what? I'm gonna put the word to the test and just see in our walk with God how spiritual. I'm not saying walk around with so heavenly minded you're no earthly good, but I think we can do a lot better than what we're doing. I think we can walk in the Spirit a whole lot more than we are doing, myself included. And so, about halfway through his message and teaching, I I flipped over in my Bible to the book of Psalms chapter 1, and I, because it came to me before he ever even got to it, and there was a couple of you, I just turned, and when he said it, I had my Bible already turned to it, had my little post-it note already written out, and I just kind of grinned because I like it when God confirms things. And the Bible says in Psalms 1, 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In this book right here, he delights in the Word. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you realize it's all connected? It's all tied together. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law and in God does he meditate day and night. Verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Be like a tree that's got roots down that's not moving. He's anchored down. He's just like a big oak by the old river bottom there. He's not going anywhere. "But like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Everybody say, "This is my season." "His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Do you realize what I just read to you? There is an answer right there. "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper." If you want what you're doing in life and on your job and in your marriage and in your family, if you want it to start prospering, if you want to find favor in God, then start meditating in the Word. Start in the early morning, late at night, start reading the Word. Start meditating the Word. And God will start blessing what you're doing throughout the day. On the job, everywhere you go, you'll begin to prosper. Sometimes you feel like one step forward and two step back. How many's ever said that? One step forward, two step back. I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. If we'll begin to meditate in the Word, if we'll begin to study and read the Word, hide the Word, partake of the Word, talk to God, amen, spend time in prayer, God will begin to prosper everything we put our hand to. Amen. It said like a tree planted by the water. In his season, his fruit shall remain. His leaves shall not wither. Amen. I want God to bless what I'm doing. Amen. I want God to bless Landmark with revival. Let's start digging into the Word. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and tell them this is your season. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody else this is my season.